Infendo Radio is on now.
Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 320. I am your host, Holly Felmuth, and joining me tonight we have Lewis Pugh.
It's me, Mario.
Harrison Milfeld.
Hi.
And Colin Crompton.
Greetings.
Oh, this was just an amazing introduction, everybody. Thank you for that. Tonight we will be doing a smaller two-part structure. We're trying to shorten the podcast down a little bit for you guys. And so tonight's will be a two-part structure, starting with Nintendo News and ending with our feature, which I have called Nintendo Swag and Merch. Yeah, I know. Awesome.
Which unfortunately, Infendo does not have their own merch store, sadly.
Yep, we got to get on that, don't we?
Well, yet, at least, yeah. If you demand Infendo-branded shirts or other merch, let us know. We'll see what we can do.
Well, that and I'm still trying to get Nintendo's word back on our own custom-made Amiibos.
Amiibos, like, of us? That would be...
Yes, it would. Those would be good. But then again, if I had one of myself, I'd just be terribly creeped out.
Depends on how lifelike it is, I guess. But, let's just go ahead and dive right into our Nintendo news. We have a lot, which is another reason why we kind of have a shorter show for you tonight, but, first, we're going to talk about a little bit of Pokemon stuff. I've divided this into two big sections, and then there's a couple of smaller things after that. But there's like a lot of Pokemon news, followed by a lot of Hyrule Warriors news, and ending with a couple of other minor news stories. But we're going to start with Pokemon news tonight. Starting on August 13th, Pokemon X users will be getting Heracross, and Pokemon Y users will be getting Pinsir through the mystery gift, which you can, you know, access that anywhere you have the internet. So you're just getting these Pokemon, Heracross and Pinsir, depending on which version you have. However, August 18th through the 30th, users can go to GameStop and download, I'm going to butcher this pronunciation, the Heracronite. Yeah, the Heracronite or Pinsirite Mega Stones, also depending on which version that you have. Through, I believe, a serial code that will be just displayed at various GameStops. I think this may or may not be a US-only thing. Lewis, Colin, do you guys know whether this is happening in Europe at all?
I mean, technically GameSpot does have a presence over here, but they are definitely not the leaders as they may be in America.
No, I'm not sure.
I'd imagine we probably will get something similar, possibly through Game here, or maybe they'll just do it online. Or through a website. But we usually get some sort of parity when a similar promotion comes out in America.
Oh, that's good. So Game, is that the name of the big game store there? It's just called Game?
It is, it's just called Game.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Weren't they supposedly closing a lot of those down about a year ago?
They did. They closed a lot of them down.
They did.
They went into administration. But they seem to be pulling back out. They seem to be doing... fairly well, seem to be a lot better now that they shut down a lot of redundant stores.
That's what's been happening. Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was like the big news out there, I think, because of different retailers, but popping up around there and just their competition. But GameStop also closed around well over 1,000 stores here in the States, I believe, too, over the past year, and they're just right now about to introduce a new buyback program because their reasoning was to, you know, clear up the confusion of the buyback program. So, but then again, my opinions of GameStop. Or, let's just not go there.
I tend to have pretty good opinions of GameStop. The closest one to me is about an hour's drive away, so that's kind of unfortunate. But whenever there's like a big release that I want, like day one, because ordering online, you know, it takes a couple of days, I will go down there, and I've never had a bad experience yet.
My bad experience comes from the fact that I applied there many times, and one time they told me it's like, your knowledge of the game industry is not really up to par. It's like, up to par to what? It's like,
that does baffle me.
Yeah, it did. And since then, I've had resentment towards them for a while.
Okay, I don't blame you then. what versions do we all have? I forget. We've probably talked about this before, but I've got Pokemon Y. Harrison, which version do you have?
Same as you, Y, and I am not really happy that Y owners are getting Pinsir, because I have a bit of a infatuation with Heracross.
Well, I'll jump in next. I have X. So X. Maybe we can do some sort of trading system here. For the boosted experience.
Ah, just gonna jump in and say I've got Pokemon Y.
Cool. So most of us are Y.
It's gonna be high in demand then.
I thought that Y was like apparently I think Y is kind of the more like the version that more guys go for probably. But you know, I chose it based on what my brother wanted, and he wanted X. So I was like, okay, I'll take the cool looking what is it? Yveltal, and you can get Xerneas.
Yveltal is like one of my. Yeah. I was really super psyched whenever I finally captured that legendary on there, but I don't know, just the design of Xerneas, whatever it was like. Just this mystical deer.
Yeah, it's Bambi.
Just without the death. just without the death. That's it.
Well.
if the UK does have this promotion, then maybe Harrison and Lewis can do a little bit of trading, because Lewis, I don't think you really mind whether you get Heracross or Pinsir, do you?
Nah, I don't mind too much.
Cool. So we have like a little bit of an arrangement there for you guys, so that everyone's happy. But in other Pokemon news, a Pokeball patterned Vivillon. All this Pokemon stuff is so hard for me to pronounce. It's Vivillon. Is available for Pokemon X and Y players. Also through Mystery Gift, using the internet, anywhere you are. Only until August 12th. I think August 12th might be the last day. And that's probably the day that this podcast is going to be published. Well, it's the day after this episode will be published. So, as soon as you hear this, like, run out there and see if you can't get that Pokeball pattern Vivillon if you haven't already. I've gotten it. It's pretty cool. But I'm not much of a Vivillon collector. Are any of you guys?
No, I haven't really got into that right now. I mean, it just,
I guess it's a big popular thing. Like, I sometimes go around talking to, or just looking, basically, at, you know, Pokemon discussions going on online, and I think that, you know, collecting all the different patterns of Vivillon is a really big thing.
I do like how they do that, as in the actual different regions in the world. You can catch the different patterns and you can trade them on the GTS. I think that's a really cool system.
Oh, that's how that works. So you can't get like certain patterns in the United States?
I believe that's how that works. And so you use the online trading to get all the different patterns from the people catching them in actual different places in the real world.
That is cool. I didn't know that. But it's really cool to see the developers of Pokemon anyway. The way they designed the new Pokemon is that, you know, there's a lot of variety within certain species, and I really appreciate that, because it's not like, I don't know, every dog you see is not the same, not even close. And so to see like a Pokemon like Vivillon, or what's that other one? It's like a flower one. Don't even ask me to tell you what the name is. But a flower one where you can get like different colors of that too. So I think that was a really interesting thing and good thing that they did in the recent iterations in Pokemon. But moving on to, you know, just the next. I think this is probably the most important and exciting news story relating to Pokemon. That is that PokemonCenter.com has officially opened for business and is basically just where you can go to order, you know, online, so don't have to go anywhere really. Pokemon merchandise, basically.
Ooh.
So, is this a UK thing?
No. Unfortunately, not yet, at least.
Another US-only thing. And currently, I mean, I spent a little bit of time just before the podcast looking up what, you know, what they offered, and it wasn't that great of a selection. So, I think they still have a bit of growing to do, but they've got some cool stuff. You can actually buy copies of the most recent games there, which the only games that were there were Pokemon X, Y, and some Pokemon Mystery Dungeon game, which I have not followed that series at all, so... But you can get that. There are several like cups that you can get, some clothes as in just like t-shirts and polos that are actually very expensive. Plushies, of course, are a big thing. There's even like phone accessories, but I think they're only for iPhones, and I've got this ancient flip phone, so that doesn't really apply to me either. But you know, it's really cool to see something like this. The Pokemon company has always to me seemed like it's almost separate from Nintendo in a lot of ways, because it has its own, like, merchandise place now called PokemonCenter.com, and also the soundtracks for the Pokemon games have been coming out, releasing at a steady clip. At least they were releasing at a steady clip for a while there.
I'm checking on the site right now, and I am pleased to know that there is a good plush selection, which this will come in handy because I have, you know, a nephew coming in soon, probably, into the world this December, and I said to myself, I'm buying this kid as many Pokemon plushes as I can.
For a minute there, I thought that you wanted to buy
them. Oh, no, no, I did. Yeah. There.
So did I.
The Chespin plush is pretty adorable looking on this.
I mean, I'm a girl, and I don't even really plan on buying any plushes. I don't collect them at all, so... But
it's a much more manly pursuit, I feel.
Wait a minute. Harrison, did you just say your nephew?
Yes, my future nephew.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, so he's not been born
yet.
No,
he's...
And I remember you mentioning on Facebook, though, that he's on his way.
Yes, he's developing now, so he has not gotten into the world yet. So, I mean, I will be interrupted probably at the point of playing the new Smash Brothers once he comes into the world, but... There's going to be a lot of babysitting at that point because my brother works like a madman, and I'm convinced that he may miss the delivery because he doesn't know when to stop working.
Well, wow. Yeah, you got a lot of time to prepare basically what you're going to do to get him into Nintendo.
I'm just looking at the list right now. There's a Mega Mewtwo Y Poképlush.
Oh my gosh, is that like the ultra muscular one or the other one? Which one?
It's the one where its tail comes out the back of its head.
Yeah, it's a lot smaller.
I would say that's preferable to the weird muscular one.
Yeah.
That's on steroids.
Especially as a plush.
Yeah, that's going to be pure. But I've got these weird kind of vivid images of a life-size muscular mutant plushie here, just kind of staring me down in the corner of my room.
You give that to a young child, it's like, happy birthday, it's like, what's this? And that just thing just terrifies it for the night.
But I'm going through the site now, and I'm pleasantly surprised to see a very decent showing for the Pokemon card game. So it's cool, at least, I guess, if you're in America, that you have a kind of official channel, if you're into the trading card game, to buy specific either booster packs from certain series or specific decks or boxes. And if you're really hardcore, apparently they are willing to sell you the actual boxes the booster packs come in the packs of 36.
Ooh.
I've not compared it, but I assume that's substantial price saving.
Huh.
And seeing as they do the tournaments and so on, I imagine there's an audience for that.
They have mugs on here.
I noticed that too. Isn't it like a Charizard mug?
Yeah, Charizard mug, and there's a travel mug like for your coffee, and there's like little tumblers with a Pikachu with a who's a mailman.
Yeah, that's like the what are they calling that? I should have this open myself, but they're calling it like the grand opening products, right?
Mm-hmm, I believe so.
The grand opening Pikachu pin. I noticed that on there as a like top selling item actually. But yeah, it's really cool. It's like I was saying though, the Pokemon company almost seems to be doing its own thing. You know, it's part of Nintendo, but it is kind of its own thing because it's releasing all of these, you know, options for collecting and music. That's the big thing for me. I don't see why the rest of Nintendo can't release some soundtracks, man. I'd pay some big bucks if I could get, you know, all of Nintendo's official soundtracks.
That reminds me, the Nintendo World Store doesn't have its online store at all, does it?
I don't think so. I don't know of one.
Dang. I mean, I guess the reason why is they're trying to keep all that stuff just exclusive, just to force people to come out to Manhattan to buy the stuff, so.
I reckon they should take a similar approach to what the Pokemon company is doing here. I guess we'll go a bit further into the discussion when we do our actual merch feature. But I guess Nintendo UK are doing a somewhat similar approach of their store. But that's all I'll say for now.
Hmm. Well, Nintendo, gosh, you could be making so much money. I'm just saying. Like, official like Nintendo apparel, for example, that could make tons of money. But let's save that for a little bit later. We're foreshadowing the feature a little bit. Moving on, we have the Hyrule Warriors Direct that took place. Okay, so just let's have a go around and find out who actually watched this. Lewis, I imagine you watched it.
I did. I put the post up on the site.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Colin, have you seen it?
I have seen it 3 times.
Okay. 3?
Dedication.
Doesn't surprise me. There's so many details that are in these Nintendo Directs. It doesn't surprise me at all. Harrison, have you seen it yet?
Yes, I have, and I was kind of not really excited to actually watch it right now, like right away off the bat because I was working, because, again, I'm still trying to be kind of convinced to buy this game, but then again, as we go through here, I've kind of opened up for it a little bit.
They got you there. Fan service goodness.
Actually, the Direct was not the thing that made me, or it wasn't something that made me think like, oh man, I have to get this game. What has made me want to get this game mostly is people talking about it, and that's about it. I'm still not totally convinced, but I'm getting there. The Direct didn't do a whole lot convince me, though, weirdly.
It's too fair. It's more of the same. I mean, you would have to have liked kind of what they were showing off before, and it's just more of that.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing. Yeah, I mean, we got some pretty cool character reveals.
Yes. And speaking of those, I'm just going to go down this list that Lewis put on the site. A new playable character, Ganondorf. That was probably the biggest reveal of the whole thing. Any thoughts on that, like, right away, anyone?
I'm not too surprised they did it, but it's really cool to see him there and just be actually two players Ganondorf, assuming for the first time in any sort of side game. Looks pretty awesome, and he looks like a really cool character to fight as, unlike his like Smash appearance, where he's like a Falcon clone. It's cool just to see Ganondorf just going crazy with like a dual swords.
And that mane of hair.
Yeah, of course.
Somebody had posted a new item reveal for Ganondorf and just showed like a screen cap of, I guess, in place of the heart that Ganondorf would have revealed at the end of his reveal, and it just showed a bottle of L'Oreal shampoo. But I enjoyed this reveal, whatever, but it got me thinking, it's like, so considering this is non-canon, I mean, it has to be because it's just ridiculous, as far as different games and characters coming from the Zelda franchise, what would be the villain in this? Have we figured that out?
Well, the villain.
Unless I miss something.
There's that weird big-breasted lady with a pointy nose.
Oh,
she looks pretty evil.
Oh, okay. That one.
Which seems really out of place as well.
I know I mentioned my sister a lot, but I don't know what I was watching. Maybe it was just the trailer for Ganondorf that I was watching, and she walks in and she sees the main villain, and she was pretty, I mean, she's pretty offended by that. She's offended by a lot of things, but I don't understand it.
I mean,
maybe I will.
I know from like the people who made the game, it's not uncommon for them to do that sort of thing. No. It just looks weird with all the other characters being fairly, you know, well represented to how they were in their previous games. It's not like they've done some, you know, wacky reimagining of those characters. So yeah, some of these new characters look a bit bizarre next to them.
I mean, that's what I kind of worried when Metroid Other M was coming out, when Team Ninja, and we all know Team Ninja with how the way they portray, like, design their women in the games. That's the only thing I was worried about with Samus, but they took a little bit more focus on something else, and, you know, just get to me, I'll let you think about that, but...
That was the,
that was
the Sakamoto influence, because, you know, he's
that
the...
Is, she had to.
She had to fit
the word there, and...
So.
But, no, what have we seen as far as, like, I remember just right at the end of the Direct, whatever, I watched Blade Knight when I was sleeping, before I went to sleep, is, because each of these characters have their own finishing moves, per se, or leveling up, whatever. What do we see with Ganondorf?
Well, we didn't see him transform into Ganon.
Oh, that is true, oh, yes.
He basically...
I'm not sure what is. No. If we did see a finishing move from him, hopefully, if we didn't, it might suggest that might be it.
He seems very overpowered. But
that's just he has it, so he has to be overpowered.
I mean, you know, it's of course, you know, it would work otherwise. But he seems like most of his attacks are like, I'm just going to obliterate the battlefield and move on to the next one. Yeah, I thought the design of him was very good, very aggressive, and the way he opens the chest, you know, boots open.
If you ever imagine Ganondorf opening chest as opposed to wing, that's exactly how it would be.
That's it. That's it.
Doesn't everyone imagine that?
Yeah.
Yes, I've imagined my sleep many times, and those are called my nightmares.
Well, that was kind of like the biggest, I think, thing that came out of the Hyrule Warriors Direct. But we have discovered, I mean, Zant. We knew that Zant from Twilight Princess, and I think we even knew Ghirahim from Skyward Sword were going to be in the game, but the Direct revealed that they will also be playable. And I don't know about you guys, but I think if I end up getting this game, I'm going to be playing them as much as I possibly can. Zant especially, I mean, one of his special moves is that he just gets, like, really massive and then just, like, does a belly flop on everyone. It's just
like
the best.
And mega mushrooms off screen, which he grabs.
Yeah. His moveset looks so goofy. It's like, what? And Ghirahim, who, I never play this guy with a sword, but
yeah.
Is he that campy?
Pretty much.
Okay, fair enough.
So there's a part later on in Skyward Sword where he is literally humming his own theme song and dancing to it, all creepy-like. Oh, man. You know, thinking about that, I'm like, why is it I keep telling myself I may or may not get this game? It should just be a done deal at this point.
Yeah, it should be, because it looks ridiculous and amazing, good fun.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, I'd like to mention, going back to Zant, kind of some of his moves made me think of Voldor from Soul Calibur, if anyone's played that.
Yes, the way he moves.
That's right.
Yeah, and he kind of does that weird, like, belly flop and worm type move. It's hard to describe, but it just looks a bit unnatural, unwieldy fighting style.
Well, the minor enemies in Zelda games lately have been really crazy like that. I mean, Zant was obviously kind of... Ganondorf is usually the main villain in a Zelda game, but lately they've had these weird, creepy, most of the time, characters as minor villains. Yuga was also very crazy.
I know we've had some references to Majora's Mask already in this game, but I'm hoping we get to fight it as a boss. Just because having that kind of power play between all these crazy characters would be perfect with fighting that his final forms, especially because how they played up in Majora's Mask, where you could obviously get the first DT mask and really go crazy on it. I think that would make quite a lot of sense. So I'm kind of hoping that's going to be the case.
Do you think
he's got to be in some form. I'm hoping.
I think maybe as an unlockable weapon.
Yeah.
He has the mask.
But then again, on the other side, Link's kind of fighting like him anyway at this point, so I just kind of hope they let you fight against Majora's Mask.
That is, yeah.
It seems a little less likely. The closer we get to the release, obviously.
Unless they release, like, a DLC.
Oh, that would be very appropriate.
That'd be cool.
Because costume sets are already, you know, we're already seeing some of those. But there's actually a couple of new items / weapons in the games, or in the game. As a new item, the giant bomb true is making its way into this game.
And it is particularly giant in this game.
It is. You could probably fit, like, three grown men, like, into that thing. That's how big it is. Also, as a weapon, Chain Chomp. Okay. This is the weirdest thing ever. Chain Chomp wasn't even supposed to be in Link's Awakening, and now all of a sudden he's made his way from, like, Mario to, you know, kind of inadvertently into Link's Awakening to Hyrule Warriors.
It's madness. Well, we're forgetting about the more important enemy / ally in this game, and that's Kukos.
Oh, that too.
Yes.
These were all kind of part of, during the Nintendo Direct, Eiji Aonuma actually came in and announced all of these things that were, like, base, you know, like, fundamental Zelda concepts that were making their way into Hyrule Warriors. So that was kind of interesting.
So it was also kind of, like, hinted at that you might be able to use cuckoos in a strategic way if you kind of rile them up and they'll just attack the enemies.
Yes.
Yeah, they didn't show attack a lot of the footage enemies, there, yeah, but in the gameplay footage that they did show, just tons of cuckoos, like, walking about. It's like, whatever.
For many years that Link has tormented these things, what deal did he make to say, like, I need you as my allies?
it's normally like, that's the only thing in the game you can't kill is if you get those cuckoos enraged, they just start swarming in from the edges of the screen. You just have to run away because they will drain your health very quickly. They will hunt you down.
They will hunt you down.
Yeah. It's cool. I like the sense of humour this game's going for. It's not taking itself too seriously. And it's letting it be inspired from some of the lighter elements of Zelda and not just the heavy combat stuff.
Maybe cuckoos. I don't know if this is a Dynasty Warriors thing. It probably isn't, but it's kind of a Nintendo thing. Maybe cuckoos are kind of like your easy way out of a situation, or, you know, if you're having a particularly hard time. Maybe that's what those are. You know, kind of like the golden tanuki leaf, for example, in Mario games.
What are you saying? So if you fail enough times, you come back as a giant cuckoo.
Or you just come back with your little armada of cuckoos.
Arise, chicken. There we
go.
Oh, gosh. You know, I may just have to get this game just talking about it.
You're talking yourself into it now.
But possibly the most popular and exciting thing that came out of the Direct was this adventure mode. So there's like this new mode in Hyrule Warriors called adventure mode, and it's basically where you just like have these tasks that you have to do, you know, kill a certain amount of enemies before the time runs out, things like that. And whenever you complete one, you unlock like more pieces of the grid map of the original Legend of Zelda. So there's fan service for you. Are you guys excited about this, or does it, I don't know, help make you want to get the game faster?
It gives a little bit more depth to the game as opposed to what we see, and this mode in general. It piques my interest to show that you're able to bridge that gap between where you're getting that classic Zelda feel to it. Not saying this is a full-fledged Zelda, like, Zelda experience that we all known for years, is that it just bridges the gap for, like, that bit of more nostalgia as far as to fan service.
I know some people who are really excited for it. Another thing with this adventure mode is that throughout it, you can actually unlock characters, I think, plus items and weapons that you can't unlock in the main campaign. At least I don't think you can. And so that's another cool thing about it, and a good reason for you to actually play through adventure mode. If you were just doing these tasks, you know, with not a whole lot of context and unlocking parts of the map and that was it, it would be a bit of a shallow mode, I think. But, you know, there's incentive for going in and playing through it, you know.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, this actually also reminded me of something from Soul Calibur. I remember playing Soul Calibur 2 on the GameCube, and it had a kind of an adventure mode type mode, I guess, where you would, you know, you would go across a map, and it would give you a little bit of context to why you're doing these particular fights, and it made me play the game a lot more than I would have without that mode, because you can kind of just get a little bit bored of the tedium of, like, keep going through the arcade mode, or, like, this one set mode. But yeah, just giving it a little bit of context, giving it a world map, and so you can kind of see the goals ahead of you, and you're getting some sort of perks out of it. It really helps, like, kind of turn it into a more full-fledged game, so I'm really glad to see that in this. Because I was a bit worried, are you going to get burnt out just through the main mode, just going through all these big battles? But I think it would be good to just kind of come back to adventure mode, seeing how far you've come, and, you know, picking a route, and, you know, just kind of chipping away at it. Bit by bit.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's just another one of those things that's like, okay, another reason for me to move up the date when I end up getting this game, which might just be day one, but we'll see. I'm still, you know, like, on the fence a little bit about this game.
You're not alone.
But here's some incentive for us, possibly. Some costume sets are going to become available as DLC. If you register the game before, I don't remember what day, like, I think you have like a month or two after the game is released, you can register the game on Club Nintendo and get a special Ganondorf costume set, which will allow you to play as Ganondorf as he appears in Ocarina of Time, or Ganondorf as he appears in Twilight Princess, and I think those were the only two that come out of that. But also, if you pre-order the game from certain retailers, and there's certain sets for each retailer, you also get costume sets that way. So if you pre-order the game from Amazon, you'll actually get a DLC costume set that matches Twilight Princess. So you'll be able to play as Twilight Princess Link, Twilight Princess Zelda, probably not Twilight Princess Ganondorf, though. It's probably just Link and Zelda. But pre-ordering the game from GameStop will get you the Ocarina of Time set. So you'll look like Link from Ocarina of Time, or you can look like Link from Ocarina of Time, or Zelda from Ocarina of Time. And as far as I know, this is also a North America-only thing.
It is, yeah. We get a different promotion. Ours is a physical promotion opposed to a digital one.
You guys get the scarf, don't you?
You get the scarf, yeah. But as far as I'm aware, there's going to be no kind of store.
That's right. Yes.
DLC stuff going on over in the UK.
Huh. It just seems like another one of those things that, I don't know, I think, Nintendo of America likes to do things digitally whenever they can, hence, you know, Club Nintendo, but we can talk about that a little later. There's also, like, wasn't there a special pre-order package of Mario Kart 8 that you could get with, like, a blue shell?
Yeah,
that was in the States, that was only exclusive at the Nintendo World store.
So yeah, you guys get a lot of physical stuff.
Yeah, and it comes in that kind of this the same square kind of promo box as the last ones. And I know we kind of came to a kind of theory, I guess, that, you know, the included item was like the most evil thing in the series. So I'm not sure if this bucks the trend, or we might might have
yeah,
an
scarf.
Insight of the, you know, the, what the scarf may really tell you into the actual game itself. It itself may be the ultimate enemy.
That sounds like a great theory.
It strangles him as he runs around.
Oh, that would be frightening.
I think it'll be interesting to see how much they'll actually price this DLC, because I think it's assumed that they're going to be selling this at least at some point, if not straight away, the DLC you couldn't claim, because obviously, assuming you only buy one copy of the game like a sensible person and not multiple, you're only going to get copy, one of the sets of costumes. And it seems a bit weird not letting you obtain the other ones in any other way. So I assume they'll be selling them at some point. And so depending on how much they will charge, it will depend on how good of a deal this is for, you know, America and UK for not getting it and getting something else instead. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Hopefully they price this stuff pretty cheap, because it is just like skins, opposed to extra characters and such.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of physical stuff. To have that scarf would be so cool. That might just guarantee my purchase of the game if
true.
We were getting a scarf over here.
But the scarf is like an extra cost. It doesn't come with the standard package.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I'd still pay it. I love Nintendo stuff. Oh, but that kind of brings us to the conclusion of the big news that came out of the Hyrule Warriors Direct. Although, you know, in general, I think the game, it probably went over some mechanics that are common in Dynasty Warriors games. Like, obviously you collect rupees and you can use rupees to, you know, buy up, buy stuff. I don't know, possibly weapons, but there's also like weapon synthesis, you know, putting two weapons together to make a new one or a more powerful one. There's a lot of game mechanics that were explained in the Nintendo Direct, which were very helpful.
Yeah, the Nintendo Direct itself was very deliberately designed for fans of Zelda, but not Dynasty Warriors. So they had to explain, this is how this works, go from there, which is good. I mean, you know, there's clearly more Zelda fans than Dynasty Warriors fans, so if you can get them on board.
Yeah. So, yeah, that all just adds up to a possible. I keep just saying this possibility thing. Possibility of me getting it on day one.
You have it pre-ordered already, don't you?
I have not pre-ordered it yet. I'll probably do an Amazon pre-order, which would be the Twilight Princess costume set, just because GameStop is a bit of a pain. If I pre-ordered it from GameStop online, I'd have to pay shipping. So, yeah, it's probably going to be Amazon, even if I wanted the Ocarina of Time set more. Which I'm not sure which I would want more, Twilight Princess or Ocarina of Time.
It's more of a coin flip. That's a coin flip for me.
Yeah.
The Ocarina of Time set just looked a bit basic. I wasn't really too impressed with it. I was like, I'll stick with that. I think the scarf thing, that's cool.
We don't have much of a choice yet, apparently.
You know, I mean... true, but... I'm sure we will at some point.
Surprised if the UK never got these costume set DLC. Exactly. But, Hyrule Warriors. Yeah. And I hope I'm creating a lot of suspense by saying repeatedly that I may or may not get it on day one.
Or
we shall see.
Yes, and
who knows what's going to happen.
We'll see if I will just have an impulse buy on this one. Because, you know, I've ranted on, like, again, and I know, I think it was either Risen Devil or Mike Isopoda, one of her commenters, when I mentioned about how Zelda wasn't really known for combat, and it's the only thing that just worries me, knowing, yes, it's based in Dynasty Warriors. I'm just trying to think is how this is going to keep the soul of the Zelda brand, but not water it down.
I think a good shout would be, if you're not kind of already won over by the fan service it's giving out, then hanging on until you've read some reviews, I don't think it's a bad decision at all on this. And just then you can kind of go by the merits of the game itself. If, you know, again, the fan service hasn't won you over. I'm kind of hoping it's going to surprise people and score higher than your kind of standard Dynasty Warriors games, because they have kind of made these tweaks. And I don't think it's necessarily just for a Zelda audience to make these tweaks for. It's just kind of more of a Western audience in general, I think, is going to be the overlap. I'm hoping it's going to come across more positively than just some of the other entries to the series over here.
All right. I'm excited. I think I'm probably waiting on the review scores, but completely unsmooth transition. Now we're talking about Mercedes-Benz. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I guess I'll explain. So, Japan a while back, I think, got this weird DLC for Mario Kart 8 where they get new carts from based on Mercedes-Benz vehicles, which is very strange. But strangeness aside, this DLC was promised for the West, and it finally has a solid release date of August 27th. So, and I thought there was just going to be, you know, like one new cart, but there's at least three, so that's good. There's like the 2014 GLA, and then don't ask me to recall what the other two are called, but there's a couple of older models of Mercedes-Benz.
I prefer the older ones, to be fair. I think they fit in slightly more. Than the kind of the current model, which is in the game.
Okay, so if you watch this trailer, it's like the 2014 GLA, Mercedes-Benz's compact SUV. I'm all like, that sure fits Mario Kart. It looks like a family car when you really look at it. Whereas the others, like, there's a sports car, and then the other one was a, what was it? Gosh.
There's apparently a 1934 W25 Silver Arrow. The, in quotes, legendary Formula Racing car.
Formula Racing car.
Yeah, according to our site. And then the 19...
Hey, that was the trailer.
The 1957 300 SL Roadster. In quotes, the dream sports car.
Okay, yeah, those two look really
cool. So basically, yeah, so essentially all these cars that are, or carts that are mentioned on here, they're all better than the car that I own. So that's to get the...
It'll be interesting to see how good they are in the game. I'm hoping they're kind of not just like the best cars in the game now, just because of this promotional deal, and they want people to use them.
I'm on my own here. I find this DLC like quite silly. It doesn't really fit what Mario Kart should be about. But then again, this is coming from someone who
have you seen
Mario
the
Kart,
trailer? But, yeah. It was. You know, you're right. It doesn't fit that well, but that's exactly why it's awesome to me. When you watch the trailer, it's like, where did this even come from? It's so awesome to watch it. I don't know.
I was really hoping I was going to go for an ultimate Luigi Death Stare exit to the video with him, because it would just look perfect.
Him and his Mercedes. It had a teeny little glimpse, you know, when he was driving that.
I wanted the full slow motion 20 seconds of Luigi Death Stare. In a new Mercedes.
That would have been awesome. The tiny little glimpse that we got of the Death Stare just wasn't enough. No. But there's also like paint jobs, though. If you watch the trailer, some of the racers are racing in, you know, different colors of these cars, including like white. The white ones looked really cool to me. There's like, you know, dark purples and blues and reds, and it just looks really cool, the paint jobs especially. So I'm actually really thrilled for this. I haven't been really into Mario Kart a whole lot lately, but when this DLC comes out, I will probably jump right back in and just probably try to actually finish the game, which I never did. So yeah, I'm thrilled for this.
Also, I think it's good to mention that these are DLC, free DLC, opposed to it being a software update. So if you really don't want Mercedes in your game, You don't have to download them the way they're doing it. I mean, you probably will see them online, I imagine, still.
Oh, that's good.
But they won't be in your, you know, your cart select screen if you don't download them. So I think it's good there how they're doing that and not just doing it as a forced update.
Well, isn't part of this update as long the other updates that we're getting for this?
Yes, it sounds like they... At the same time, there is going to be a software update. But the way it's worded makes it sound like they are separate.
Okay. Because the one update that I was really surprised, because I kept... When I first initially got Mario Kart 8, I was wondering where this option was while during a race, is that, yes, the track layout is going to be displayed finally on the TV screen.
Which, I don't know, if you're playing first player, I don't know if I'd want that on there. I mean, you can have it displayed on the gamepad, not that you ever look down there.
Yeah, that's the problem, I think.
It seems like it'd be a nuisance, is all.
I think it's good to see kind of how ahead you are from the crowd, if you are at all, and... Does it show the items in this game on the map?
Probably.
So yeah, I mean that's a pretty good advantage as well. If you've just got that, you know, glanceable in the corner of your screen, you can see if an item potentially is coming your way.
Yeah, it'll be good for people. I mean, when I played Mario Kart 7 on the 3DS, the map's always displayed on the bottom screen, but the bottom screen on a DS or a 3DS is a lot easier to look at than the gamepad is in the middle of a race, and so I would use the map a lot in Mario Kart 7, but, you know, I don't look at the gamepad or use the map while I'm playing Mario Kart 8, and I don't think I will have or use that option to display it on the screen either. But just actually as an explanation as to why I haven't been able to play a lot of Mario Kart 8, I've got my plate so full. I mean, I'm editing the podcast and doing all this other stuff. Plus, I started this Retro Redux thing, which you should probably know a little bit about already. I'm just basically playing old Nintendo games, starting with the NES. I'm kind of like just deep into the, you know, NES right now. And just as a quick update on what I've been up to. So I had the first vote. It was between four games, including DuckTales, which won. Star Tropics got a very close second, like super close. And I'm actually kind of working with someone to possibly get an article on Infendo explaining why you should have voted for Star Tropics. But either way, I've been playing DuckTales. And it has been a very fun, surprisingly fun game. Maybe that's because I've also been enjoying Shovel Knight. And Shovel Knight is awesome as well. But I feel like I'm really good at DuckTales, considering it's an old game, and I'm not very good at those. But it's, you know, it's a very colorful game. It has a lot of personality. The pogo jumping with Scrooge's cane still feels satisfying, so the gameplay is actually really, really tight, I think, considering it's an NES game. It's a very, very fun game. You know, exploring the levels it's a fairly easy game, but you can explore the levels and, you know, get a lot of treasure that way, and that can actually be pretty engrossing as well. So overall, that's a pretty fun game. But, you know, Star Tropics fans, it might be a while, but I eventually will play that game. I did buy it, and so there's no way I can go without playing it. But as, you know, like, the latest news on NES Quest, which is what I'm calling this whole thing, a new vote has started, and by the time this podcast is published, the closing will actually be over, but I can kind of go over the four games that there are and hopefully get some votes from you guys. I haven't gotten a lot of votes this time around. So the four games that people can vote on for the next little while, not after this is published, but they are Bionic Commando, Super Mario Bros. 3, Maniac Mansion, and Adventure Island. So just to end this quick little update on NES Quest, what do you guys vote on? Let's start with Harrison.
Does Star Tropics include this one, or is that different?
Star Tropics is not in this one. Hopefully it will appear later.
Before I vote, I just say, once you finally play Star Tropics, you will realize that after that word, so you're like, yeah, I think Nintendo needs to do an update to this. It's something I've been clamoring for years, and my prayers have never been answered. But go with Super Mario Bros. 3. Just tried and true, one of the, like, you know, the best-selling NES game of all time. Again, not to say sales should be coming a factor, but you're able to finally see something that is what most of our Mario fans will not shut up about.
Yeah. And I've actually played Super Mario Bros. 3 before, pretty extensively at one point, but the thing in this whole experiment is that any game goes, and I never did beat Super Mario Bros. 3, so if I did end up playing this game, I would try to actually, you know, beat it. So that'll be an interesting challenge, because last time I tried to beat it, got kind of stuck, and so that was the end of that story. But Lewis, which game would you vote on out of those four?
I'm going to vote for Bionic Commando. I think it's a cool take on a 2D platformer. It makes a lot of good use of the kind of the grappling hookshot type mechanic, where you swing from one area to another.
So you've played it?
I have, yes. Oh. It's a tricky game, from memory at least. And it's fun though. I think it has aged fairly well in terms of kind of its originality.
Okay, so Bionic Commando. Alright, Colin, what's it gonna be? Do you need the list again?
No, that's fine. I'm a big fan of point-and-click games and things like that. So, for me, it has to be Maniac Mansion. I mean, that's the only game on the list I've actually played, so it makes sense. And, it has mind-bending things in it that you have to work out, but it's so satisfying when you do. But it was, Tim Schafer worked on it, so
might be
it's
the
kind of
most
crazy,
unusual game out of those four, but I'm not even sure. That's the thing. I missed out on so many NES games.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's probably the most peculiar one out of the list, yeah. I've not played Maniac Mansion myself, but I have played...
Indeed it is, yeah.
I think it's somewhat of a spiritual successor, but I could be wrong here. Day of the Tentacle on the PC.
Yes. That's right, yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. But, no, all the scum games are very good.
All right. Well, your votes will be added probably after the podcast, because we got to move on to our feature, Nintendo swag and merch. Merchandising!
Channeling my inner books there.
Oh, some more Spaceballs. Yes. You know, we mentioned Spaceballs when talking about Amiibo, which could be considered Nintendo swag when it finally comes out.
Oh, definitely.
This has actually already kind of turned into a bit of a conversation here. I didn't really have any precedent for this whole feature, and so let's talk about Amiibo. Let's just throw that out there. That's talk about Amiibo as Nintendo swag.
So do we think it's going to be successful, first of all?
With Amiibo?
In terms of... Not so much if it's going to be good or not. Is it going to sell well, according to Nintendo, sort of thing? Is it going to do well for them?
No.
Absolutely.
Because surely it's quite reliant on the Wii U user base.
It will, because...
Currently.
When the 3DS adapter comes out, but... It's some random creature from Skylander is going to sell loads.
True, but Skylander is available on everything.
Surely.
No matter what console you own, you can plug up Skylander stuff.
I think it's available for Sega Master System as well.
Yeah, there's retrofitting it into into our history.
Retrofitting it.
I kind of agree with... Well, I don't know if this was your thing here, Lewis, but I think you're basically saying that it probably won't be as successful as Nintendo hopes. And my reasoning is basically what you said, Lewis, as well as the fact that, you know, Skylanders they're really cool. As far as I can tell, like, you know, hooking those up to your system does something significant in the games.
Yes.
Whereas I think they're spreading Amiibo way too thin. It's like, there's already... Eight or nine games, I think, that are going to support Amiibo in one way or another, and I don't think any of those ways are going to be, I don't know, anything that will significantly impact gameplay. It's kind of like AR cards. I mean, I don't think...
Or like Motion Plus, which was only supported by, like, 11 games?
11, 12.
I don't think that's the problem with Amiibo, though. I think there are too many games
that even as collectibles, Amiibo does not have that point, like, you know, the power enough to actually just sell enough units just on itself, because it won't probably enhance the gameplay enough.
Basically, I don't think that it's going to fail completely, Amiibo as a whole, that is, but I think that it is probably just going to be underwhelming.
I think people will be buying these even if they're non-owners. I feel like some will just be buying them just for the collectibles alone. I really feel like people get confused by that, and they'll just buy them, not use them, but they'll just buy them because they're collectibles.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of it comes down to price. It all depends if they find that sweet spot, which is, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to compete well with Skylanders, but they will be slightly more expensive.
I say 15. I mean, they're probably going to be priced around $15, maybe $18, because if you go to a place like Toys R Us or even a Walmart, for instance, here in the States, is that most low-end action figures are costing around $7-8, so for something of this type, product and this product line that it's coming from, it's gonna probably be a little dead, like, you know, around in the teens as far as, you know, like I said, 15-18 range.
Oh, that seems so overpriced. I guess everything associated with video games has to be super expensive, because when you think about it, just video games in general are so expensive.
Hey, back when I was a little kid, I remember paying $70 for a Super Nintendo game, so times have changed.
We have moved away from the cartridges. But no, I agree. I think the Amiibo figures are not going to have kind of the cool factor for the kids. I believe, although it may seem strange, that there'll probably be more adults buying some of these Amiibo figures than just kind of the kid crowd. Currently, what they've shown off in, like, Smash Bros., it's really nuanced in terms of what it's, you know, tangibly going to give you as an, you know, enhanced experience. I mean, it's almost a bit tedious explaining someone what it does currently. How, you know, you don't actually get the control of a character. They'll fight for, like, they'll fight automatically, and you can give them moves the more they fight. And but these aren't additional characters you bring in the game. They're just going to be the same characters you can have in the game, but they're going to be their own stats, which are on the figure. See, that doesn't sound great currently.
No, it doesn't. But how?
But I mean,
how would this idea be?
No.
Nintendo releases a free-to-play Wii U game sometime in the future, and the only way you could maybe get some characters is buying these amiibos. Good, bad.
That's what I think they should have done from the start. I think they should have gone full hog and did a Skylanders type game. And the way you get new characters into the game is by buying the figures. If you want to play with Link in this game, you buy a Link figure and you bring him in the game.
So you're saying like...
Basically, yeah. Like kind of like a Smash Bros. Adventure game.
I would say, if you were suggesting Smash Brothers for that, that would have been backfired pretty hard.
Exactly, yeah. They can't do it with an already established franchise, but something new.
I would have killed Nintendo.
I would have killed. I would have chucked my Wii. I would have sent my Wii U back to them and said, you can have this back.
But yeah, I mean, I think it'd be cool, and I'm hoping they will do some interesting things to the amiibo figures, and you know it will come to the 3DS as well. And so maybe that will be its strength. It will be compatible with a bunch of different games across different systems. And even if you only get little bonuses per each game, if they keep supporting it, then it will pay off in the long run. And they do look like high quality figurines. So hopefully they're playing the long game on that.
Yeah, and hopefully they have something in the works that is like focused and centered around amiibo. I think that's really, I mean, because starting out, yeah, it might be a little slow with these games that don't use them very strongly, but if Nintendo does have a plan for some kind of game that focuses around the use of amiibo, that's when I think that this idea could skyrocket.
Yeah, I think they need like a new franchise, like a new Animal Crossing or a Tamagotchi collection or something. Something really off the wall. But it uses them in a really cool way to bring the characters to life.
Well, I think that we've kind of...
we took the amiibo quite a bit here.
Finished up on our amiibo conversation. Let's move quickly to Club Nintendo. Or is it called something different in Europe?
No, it's Club Nintendo.
Yeah, but we have stars instead of coins, yeah.
Yeah, we have a different system, yeah.
So you guys get stars, we get coins over here. Which I think is a little bit more appropriate... I don't know.
I think so, yeah. We're cool. Quite greedy having like hundreds of coins and thousands of coins of items.
Hundreds of stars.
Yeah, exactly. Stars even.
Yeah.
So stars are worth a little bit more than coins. Is that what you would say? Like, okay, so say I register like a Wii game or let's say a Wii U game and I get 50 coins. If you guys register a Wii U game, how many stars do you get?
It's backwards because it's even more stars.
Oh.
Yeah, 250 stars is kind of the average.
Okay, so the pricing works a little bit differently. But...
That's crazy.
Let's talk about some of the, you know, just like stuff in the past that we've gotten from Club Nintendo.
You mean the stuff that us Americans don't get?
Good point. Let's talk about that. What does Europe have that America doesn't have? Harrison, do you have any specific examples? Because I'm not sure what the selection in Europe is.
I'm just checking the catalog here.
No, I know that Europe or Japan. What was it?
Oh, it was a cool Game & Watch, yeah.
We had one of those. No, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. A Classic Controller Pro that was designed in the same way as a Super Nintendo controller.
Oh, I would love that.
I've got to admit, the catalog is looking awfully weak currently here in the European catalog.
I would say your guys' weak catalog is our good catalog.
Yeah,
I think that's probably the case. Because what did you just say that you had, Lewis? You gave one example.
There's Game & Watch.
Oh, yeah, the Game & Watch. Yeah, we used to have that.
7,500 stars.
Whew. Ours was expensive, too.
Yeah.
That's the most.
Did you guys ever get Hanafuda cards?
I did.
We did. I've got some somewhere.
I have mine right here next to me at the moment. I have not... Because I assume when I got these, they were going to be a lot bigger. I didn't realize they were that tiny.
Yeah, I thought they were like playing card size. But, nah, they're about a third of that.
But they're pretty nice. The quality's all right. They're, you know, like a nice hard plastic.
And it's a cool style as well. It's like very kind of traditional in an odd way. of Nintendo characters in there.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah.
I have mine right here as well, actually. I have most of my Nintendo stuff here on my desk, but...
Yeah, something I wanted to mention. I'm not sure if you have something similar in America, but I think it was earlier this year, or it might have been last year, that at least on the UK side, they opened up a direct online store. And they had something similar before, but it was just basically so you could buy like a 3DS charger and like an SD card, and that was about it, maybe some styluses. But now you can buy kind of the games and the consoles directly, which is really handy for the different variations. They kind of have them all stocked. So if you ever had or saw a cool edition of the 3DS, for example, the chances are if you browse on their store, if you're in the UK at least, it's available to buy brand new from them for the just what the regular price is currently.
I believe we do have... No, yes, we do have that here in the States. We also have the refurbished store, which that's where I've kind of gotten most of my Wii U Remote Pluses from that. And I think I got us... I'm in the process of getting a new SD card for my 3DS on that one, so...
That's cool.
Yeah, I feel like it's more of a replacement parts store. Here, you just go to Nintendo's official site. Down at the bottom, there's a link that leads to the online store, and you can get, like, replacement... It's like you say, replacement chargers and styluses and... Also, yeah, here they do have a very excellent lineup of refurbished products. They were actually doing a refurbished deluxe Wii U that included Nintendo Land for like $200, which is a pretty good deal, especially for something that's like officially refurbished by Nintendo. So that was cool, but you know, we don't get really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, but I mean,
over here,
it's expanded even further, and you can even get, you know, really cool merch. And so they've got like figurines, even limited edition ones. And these are the ones from, forgetting the company's name here.
Nintendo?
No, not Nintendo. First for Figures. You've probably seen some of their licensed Nintendo goods. And they've done
They're super expensive usually, aren't they?
They are. They come in a variety of sizes. And the reason why I'm making a point of this is because I purchased one of these when it popped up. And it must have been like a rerun. Because I picked up a Samus Zero Suit figure. And it was how many did they make?
So it was limited edition.
It was. There was 2,500 of them made, at least for the UK. Because, I mean, obviously these were around for a little while beforehand, so I guess this is a new batch of 2,500 of them. And checking the store now, they're all sold out. So I'm feeling pretty cool with this little Samus figure on my desk right now next to my Wii U dev kit.
And you got it for a halfway decent price, right?
It's not bad. I mean, the large figures are crazy prices. This is clarified as a small one, and it's about sort of 9-10 inches sort of thing, this one.
That's still not too bad.
It's not bad at all, yeah.
That's not
and
bad
that,
at all,
over here, that was priced $69.99, which in that range I thought was fairly good, because next to it is the awesome-looking gunship, but that costs $189.99. And that's somehow classified as a small one.
That's absurd.
Yeah, I'm gonna click on the large section here. You got a large Princess Zelda for £218.99, a large Ganondorf for £281.99, and oddly a large Tanuki Mario for $129.99.
What?
Exactly.
All these are available in a complete set for like a nice little price, I bet.
£600.
Yeah, but I mean, just like a mere 12 months ago, this store was purely for, you know, just getting your replacement parts, and they're expanding it. They've expanded it a load since, and you get like T-shirts and all sort of different merch directly from Nintendo, and a lot of it's quite cool stuff. So it's cool to see them opening up in that way.
So we've got PokemonCenter.com now, and you guys have that, which I wish we had something more along those lines over here, which we don't quite. So that isn't like associated with Club Nintendo, though, is it?
No, this is just your real money. No. You can't use your vouchers here.
All right. Well, since we got to kind of like hurry the show along, I just want to kind of end talking about like our personal collections, like what our favorite... Let's not get too deep into things, but maybe just talk about our one or two favorite things that we own that's like Club Nintendo, something that we bought and paid for, whatever it is. So I hope you guys all have something in mind because we're going over this. And just to give you guys a little bit of time to think, I'm just going to quickly talk about my favorite things. My favorite Nintendo things. We should come up with a song for this.
Yeah, but,
my favorite Nintendo things. There we go.
Oh, that was awesome. Probably anything official soundtrack-wise, like when I get a soundtrack CD in a case, those are what I like to get the most. And currently, I try to collect them whenever possible. So currently, I actually have an official Super Mario Galaxy soundtrack, a Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time soundtrack in a nice jewel case. Also the same thing with Majora's Mask. I got the special edition of Bravely Default, and that came with a little soundtrack with only 10 songs, but still, it's physical, it's awesome. And what was the last one? The Last Story. That one only has, you know, like 6 or 7 tracks on it, but still, that's really cool too. I will just do anything to get those actual physical discs with official Nintendo soundtracks on them.
You heard that right here.
But let's go around, and I hope you guys have thought of something, because it's your turn. We'll start with Colin.
Well, there's only two things I can think of, and one of them... I got the Super Smash Bros. Melee soundtrack, which is very cool, very nice, and it's like 20 tracks on it, and it's... it's amazing to listen to. But my favourite thing... I mean, it's a console, but my Pikachu N64. I've always loved that little thing.
So is this the blue one?
Yes, and it's little foot's the
reset
button. I mean,
it's absolutely crazy, but yeah, it's great.
For as large as that thing was when we were seeing as a kid, I always thought like, okay, that's larger than a regular N64. Is there like more memory? Is there another graphics card in there? It's like, no, it's just regular.
No, it's
regular one. I'm like,
More plastic.
It didn't even stuff the expansion pack in his cheeks.
No, but his cheeks do light up when you turn it on.
It's just the cute factor.
Yeah, it's just little touches. It's like, oh, look at that. Very nice. So, that's me. I mean, yeah, I cherish it.
Well, that is awesome. And yes, special edition systems count. I mean, I got this fairly recently, one of those NES-designed GBA SPs, so that's another cool thing.
I'm in the process of trying to, I know they sell these online, and get a Nintoaster.
What?
NES.
I've not seen this.
Never heard
look
that.
Up Nintoaster. It's basically a guy that takes NES parts and puts them into a toaster, and you can work it off through that.
Oh, so it doesn't burn pixelated Mario images into your bread then?
Yes, basically, the cartridge goes in top of the bread.
Oh, okay, I see it.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I'm surprised I never heard.
Wait a minute, is it a console?
Console. It isn't any. It's a work. Oh, it's a working
it
NES.
Like a
it's a working NES inside of a toaster.
That's the best thing ever. As far as what you actually do have, what would be your favorite like piece of Nintendo swag?
Mine?
Yeah.
Before I get my favorite, I forgot to mention one of my Club Nintendo rewards I got about 2-3 years ago, and this is right the year after I missed out on that figurine that I wanted so much, and I thought like, okay, I'm going to get this. This is going to be awesome. They're going to have a great little prize in the end, something similar. And the choice was a calendar or a pen set.
Tough choice.
Pen set might be even worse than the platinum playing cards.
I chose the pen set because it was like about it was a 12x2 it was 12x12 little box with the pins in there, and you could rearrange them into either Bowser or 8-bit Mario. I mean, it's somewhere in my closet, but
The pin set. I thought you said pin set. Yeah, I have the pin set. It's definitely better than the platinum playing cards, but
yeah, I got that. Awesome. And as far as apparel, I have a Kirby shirt. I mean, I have no shame of wearing that out to bars when I go out with my friends. I mean, it gets good reaction from everybody. You know,
is it like solid?
No,
pink?
No. It's a sky blue background of the shirt, and it just has Kirby walking. Yes, that's it.
That's awesome.
That. And I have another one that I actually wear out, and again, people wonder why I don't have a girlfriend, is that I have a black t-shirt which has 12 Pikachus on it, and each four rows in a different pose.
Wow. That's awesome. I want that shirt.
I know. I were finding that at the mall one day. I was shopping just for a new suit, and I just saw it in the corner of my eye, and it was like for $10, and I was like, I'll have that too. But my favorite piece of merch, I would have to say, is... well, I mean, I don't have anything as expansive or anything like that. It's, as Lewis or even Colin, or special edition consoles, but, and this may seem like a cop-out, but, and all of us own this probably, my copy of Hyrule Historia. Because it's a nice nice little coffee table book that I can lay out on my desk or outside my table, and anytime I have people over, they're just skimming through it. You know, that's like one of the first ones to look through. Mm. And the thing I always point to is the timeline. I was like, you know, be sure to read that.
Yes.
But
it will blow your mind.
Yeah,
it will blow your mind, and it will confuse you as well. yeah, that's all my apparel right there. I need to get more on there, but busted. But when you mentioned the speaking of apparel, when you mentioned the Lewis, when you mentioned the Luigi Death Stare, the Luigi Death Stare Busted Tees actually has a T-shirt of that.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
All right, Lewis, you're the last one on the list here.
Well, I won't cheat by re-mentioning my Samus figurine, which I have proudly placed next to my dev kit in my office. What I will boast here again is the Smash Bros. T-shirt I won recently at the post E3 event.
You beat me for it.
I did indeed. alongside my wife and a stranger.
Yes.
But yeah,
I really wanted that.
It's pretty good quality, and it's official merch. And it actually says post E3 winner on there. That's pretty cool. So, yeah.
That is cool. I actually, you guys probably saw the Super Smash Bros. Invitational, right? Or at least the highlight video, something.
I saw the highlight video.
Yeah, at least you saw. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you watch the full thing or the highlight video. You probably saw like the fans holding up these like voter cards.
Oh, yes.
That's what they're called.
Yes.
So I had a friend who, you know, I email back and forth all the time, who lives in LA, and he was able to go to the Super Smash Bros. Invitational, and he got one of those voter cards.
Oh,
and
cool.
I don't think he would have sent that his own to me, but as he was leaving the Invitational, he saw in one of the aisles someone had abandoned their voter card, so he like ran in and picked it up. I don't know if you have any idea what I'm talking about, but these voter cards are like...
Well, they're
various...
like a binder book, and you could just switch between which character you want to show at the time.
Support. Exactly,
yeah.
That's exactly what they are. So he got me one of those that was abandoned by one of the attendees, and he sent it in the mail, and it was awesome.
Oh, amazing.
I got that in the mail. He just said, like, I'm going to send you something. What's your address? I told him my address, and it's a P.O. box, so, you know, perfectly safe. But he sent that to me. I got it. Had no idea what it was going to be. I opened it up, and it was one of those voter cards. So I have one of those, even though I did not go to the Invitational.
That's pretty awesome.
That's a nice fun. That's a nice gift to get around.
Oh, yeah. He also sent me,
and
like,
straight
this
eBay
art
went.
Thing.
Probably already sent you, like, what's this disc? Shh. It's a demo of Smash Brothers. how'd you get this? You don't want to know.
That's not like him. But he also actually sent me this little art thing that lights up, because he works at an art museum, and a little handwritten note. So, that was just way, way nice. I still owe him for that. But, yeah. I guess you could put that way up there with my with my other prized Nintendo possessions. But does anyone else have any other possession that they're just dying to talk about? Like, I was dying to talk about that out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, the one console, best edition console I really wanted, and that was the orange GameCube.
The
Spice Orange GameCube, named after a Tic Tac. And, yeah, I really wanted it, but I could never get my hands on one, I'm afraid.
The version I always wanted was just the Panasonic Q.
That's what I was going to say, Panasonic Qs, I also wanted that.
Did that play,
so
could you
sleek.
Region lock that thing, or not region lock it, unlock it?
I don't know, I'm...
Is it shiny and metal? At least it looks like it, and it looks awesome.
It does look amazing. I was like, oh, get my hands on that, but no, yeah. I love the GameCube, so I'll just try and get everything GameCube related. And, the only other thing I could mention is probably my Pokemon cards. I used to collect, like, a load of Pokemon cards, so then my mother was clearing out my room, and she found this folder for the Pokemon cards, which had some really rare ones, which was, she sold the whole lot for about £10.
Whoa.
She sold it without your permission?
She sold it without my permission. But
any
so it was like, that is £10, and yes, I wasn't happy. And so I stopped collecting things after that, because it might go missing. That's a horror story, that's terrible.
Yeah. Also, Panasonic Qs are very expensive, apparently.
They are very expensive.
If you got a spare 300 or 500 quid, you can
be if I have that much money, I'll buy a Wii U, but, you know.
Yeah, first priority for you.
Yeah, don't worry.
Talking about, though, things that we had but lost, things that we want but can't have, that might end up being, like, an even bigger discussion than talking about what we do have. So maybe we'll save that for another episode. Just a whole episode talking about Nintendo merch that we wish we had. That would be fun. But that actually brings us to the end of the show. This has been... Actually, I will first let you know that you can send us an email. We really love getting questions from you guys, and we will most likely answer them on the show because we don't, you know, get many. So the odds are pretty high that we'll talk about your question on the show. Send us comments or questions to contact@infendo.com. You can also leave comments on the post where the podcast is, if you're in your browser, and just about any other post that you comment on it on infendo.com, you might get, you know, your comments or questions mentioned from there as well. But you know the tried and true methods, so do it. Email us at contact@infendo.com. And with that, this has been Infendo Radio. Thank you for listening.
See you all.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye, guys.